This is Power for Living, the Bible teaching ministry of Christ the King Church in Wakefield, Massachusetts. I'm your host, Feliciano Segundo, and our teacher is Father Michael Carl. So get out your Bibles and let's get started.
We're taking a break this week from the Gospel of Mark on our teaching time, and we're going to be looking at the passage from the book of Job. Job 1:1 says, "There was a man in the land of Uz, whose name was Job, and that man was blameless and upright, and one who feared God and shunned evil." Then Job 2:1-10, "Again there was a day when the sons of God came to present themselves before the Lord, and Satan came also among them to present himself before the Lord. And the Lord said to Satan, 'From where do you come?' Satan answered the Lord and said, 'From going to and fro on the earth, and from walking back and forth on it.' Then the Lord said to Satan, 'Have you considered my servant Job? There is none like him on the earth, a blameless and upright man, one who fears God and shuns evil. And still he holds fast to his integrity, although you incited me against him to destroy him without cause.' So Satan answered the Lord and said, 'Skin for skin. Yes, all that a man has he will give for his life. But stretch out your hand now and touch his bone and his flesh, and he will surely curse you to your face.' And the Lord said to Satan, 'Behold, he's in your hand, but spare his life.' So Satan went out from the presence of the Lord and struck Job with painful boils from the sole of his foot to the crown of his head. And he took for himself a potsherd with which to scrape himself while he sat in the midst of the ashes. Then his wife said to him, 'Do you still hold fast to your integrity? Curse God and die.' But he said to her, 'You speak as one of the foolish women speaks. Shall we indeed accept good from God? And shall we not accept adversity?' In all this, Job did not sin with his lips." So let's take a look at the passage. Let's go back to verse 1. Job 1:1 tells us about the man Job. "There was a man in the land of Uz whose name was Job, and that man was blameless and upright, and one who feared God and shunned evil." Now, as you can see from the map, the land of Uz was roughly where the southern end of Jordan and the southwestern end, or the western end of Saudi Arabia, are today. Now, Job lived at about the time of the patriarchs, and there are some sound reasons for believing this. One Bible reference site says that while the Bible doesn't date the time of Job, internal references in the book suggest that he lived around the time of the patriarchs of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, somewhere around 2000 BC. For example, Job's length of his life. He lived 140 years after his trials ended. That's chapter 42, verse 16, is similar to that of Terah, 205 years, Abraham, 175 years, Isaac, 180, and Jacob, 147. Also, the writer measured Job's wealth in terms of his livestock, which is how Moses evaluated the wealth of Abraham and Jacob. Thirdly, the Sabaeans and the Chaldeans were nomads during this patriarchal period, but not later. Finally, the Hebrew word for piece of silver money, keseta, is found elsewhere only in connection with Jacob. So the references to money in the book of Job are similar to that of when in the book of Genesis, where it talks about Jacob, and then that reference fades forever. Now, the most remarkable thing about this guy is that in Job's time, there were no scriptures. What he pretty much had was the awareness of the one creator God that was still around from the time of the Tower of Babel. Yet Job knew the Lord, was upright, and it is clear from this that Job pursued what we would call a holy life. Job 1 tells us that Job even offered sacrifices to the Lord on behalf of his children, because his heart was to cover his child's or his children's in God's blessing. This, for today, is equivalent for us of daily praying for the Lord to protect and bless our kids. So, because this was the case, the devil couldn't stand the thought of there being one who was faithful to the Lord in a time when very few people knew about Yahweh. So the text in Job chapter 2 begins, "Again there was a day when the sons of God came to present themselves before the Lord, and Satan came also among them to present himself before the Lord. And the Lord said to Satan, 'From where do you come?' And Satan answered the Lord and said, 'From going to and fro on the earth, and from walking back and forth on it.'" Now, look at the devil's answer here. This pretty well goes along with what Peter tells us about the devil. What does Peter say? He says that the enemy prowls about like a roaring lion seeking who he can devour, which means there's nothing new under the sun. The devil has not changed in however many years it's been, this has been going on. The devil's still the same. He's running around trying to find people he can make, and he can make, see if he can make them mess up. Now, this passage brings us to a very important theological point. The enemy is searching for victims, and this passage makes it look like God is suggesting that the devil mess with Job. But here's the needed point. God tells the devil, speaking to Job, "Have you considered my servant Job, that there is none like him on the earth, a blameless and upright man, one who fears God and shuns evil, and still he holds fast to his integrity, although you incited me against him to destroy him without cause?" God tells the devil that Job is different. There is a different spirit about him. God essentially told the devil that Job was upright and the devil wasn't going to be able to make him fall away. Then God places the blame on Job's previous struggles clearly on the devil. God said, "You incited me against him to destroy him without cause." In other words, there's no reason to want to attack Job. There's no reason to want to mess with him. And so it was you that did it. So God is pointing the blame at the devil, saying, "Your fault." So here's what we can know. The devil can't touch any one of us in this sanctuary and cannot mess with us unless God gives him permission to do so. Not only that, from this passage we can see that God's consent for that is measured. In other words, he doesn't give the devil any permission to mess with us unless he already knows that we're going to be okay. So whenever you're going through anything, whenever you're going through a trial, whenever you think the whole world is against you, whether or not you think the problems of life are falling down upon you like an avalanche, know this. Yes, God permitted it. But guess what? He knows that you can get through it if we trust him. So God isn't going to give the devil permission to mess with you unless he already knows the outcome. You know, God knows everything, right? So he already knows if you're going to mess up. The devil doesn't know the future. And so God said, "Yeah, okay," knowing it's not going to work. This guy is going to come through it with flying colors, and the devil's going to look like a fool. All right? So let's have some faith here and know that we're not being messed with by the devil unless God already knows that we have enough faith and trust in him and enough steadfastness and enough integrity to make it through to the other side. Amen? Now, the devil in verse 4 was clearly acting like the devil. Surprisingly enough, he invoked an ancient curse, skin for skin. Yes, all that a man has, he will give for his life. But stretch out your hand now and touch his bone and flesh, and he will surely curse you to your face. David Guzik wrote in his commentary on the passage that Satan here asserted that Job failed to curse God only because he was afraid that if he did, it would bring personal punishment on him from God. Satan argued that the problem with the prior attacks was that none of the previous attacks touched Job directly, but only things next to or outside of Job. In Job's ancient culture, skin for skin was a bartering term, meaning to trade one skin for another. So in other words, the devil's saying Job was okay with that because he was saving his own skin and allowing his children to be whacked by those tragedies. That's exactly what the devil believes about any Christian. We'll be holy and right with God until it costs us something. When the time comes, the devil believes we will sell our own mother to save our necks. That's what that means. Skin for skin. But that's what he thinks about us. The devil continued by saying that if God let the devil touch Job himself, that Job would fail and curse God. But again, we've already covered this. God knew perfectly well that if it came to it, Job would not fail. So the enemy goes and inflicts Job with hideous sores or boils, depending on the translation, but you know, that doesn't make any difference because these are disgusting enough just to think about it. There is one verse that tells us that these sores were so awful that they dripped pus. And that in chapter 30, we read that Job's sores turned black and caused his flesh to peel from his body. This absolutely makes me cringe to think about that. Furthermore, it says he took a piece of pottery and was scratching himself with it. But what happened? There are two things. Job's wife, who had also endured the death of all of her children too, it said essentially, Job, what's wrong with you? Why don't you curse God and you can die? She said, this is too much. I don't trust this God anymore, so you shouldn't either. What was Job's reply? He stood firm. Fortunately, he refused the worst advice anyone could ever give. You speak as one of the foolish women speaks. Shall we indeed accept good from God, and shall we not also accept adversity? And all this, Job did not sin with his lips. He said, woman, you are foolish. Is it really right for us to only accept the blessings of God and not the tests of our faith as well? The passage ends with Job being commended for his faithfulness. Yet, it's a profound lesson. We're being taught that trials will come. We're being taught that we're to give thanks to God for them. It's in these trials where we can see God do some of his most amazing work. Now, don't get me wrong. I don't like trials any more than anyone else does. From time to time, I've spoken about the things I've had to deal with. None of them were very pleasant. And I'm sure none of your trials were any more or less pleasant. Yet God showed himself faithful to bring me through them. Yes, there were a few bruises here and there, and not a small amount of mental trauma. Yet with the Lord, I made it through. And if we do as Job and hold fast to our confession of faith without wavering, we will make it through as well. Amen.
Thank you so much for joining us for this week's edition of Power for Living. If you happen to miss any of our other programs, be sure to go to our podcast page at christthekingnorthshore.podbean.com. And you can also visit our website at www.ctknorthshore.org. If this program has been a blessing, feel free to let us know. Write us at Power for Living, care of Christ the King Church, 4 Railroad Avenue, Suite 309 in Wakefield, Massachusetts, 01880. Or you can also send us an email at christthekingnorthshore@gmail.com. You can be a part of this gospel ministry by becoming a patron of Power for Living. You can find out how by clicking the Become a Patron button at the top of our podcast page. That's it for this week, and until next time, remember that Jesus is your power for living.